League of Nations Mandate. Following the collapse of the Ottoman Empire after World War I, the League of Nations mandated that 5 provinces that make up present-day Lebanon to the direct control of France. Initially, the division of Arab-speaking areas of the Ottoman Empire were to be divided by the Sykes-Picot Agreement. However, the final disposition was at the San Remo Conference of 1920, whose determination of the mandates, their boundaries, purposes, and organization were ratified by the League in 1921 and put into effect in 1922. According to the agreements reached at San Remo, France also had its control over what was termed Syria recognized, the French having taken Damascus in 1920. However, Syria was scheduled to be an independent country, a so-called Class A mandate. The rights granted to France were far less over other mandate territories. A Class B mandate granted the right to administer the territories. The entire mandate area was termed Syria at the time, including the administrative district along the Mediterranean coast. Wanting to maximize the area under its direct control, contain an Arab Syria centered on Damascus, and ensure a defensible border, France established the Lebanon-Syrian border to the Anti-Lebanon Mountains on the far side of the Bekwa Valley, territory which had belonged to the province of Damascus for hundreds of years, and was far more attached to Damascus than Beirut by culture and influence. This doubled the territory under the control of Beirut, at the expense of what would become the state of Syria. Consequently, the demographics of Lebanon were profoundly altered as the territory added contained people who were predominantly Muslim or Druze. Lebanese Christians, of which the Maronites were the largest subgrouping, now constituted barely more than 50% of the population, while Sunni Muslims in Lebanon saw their numbers increase 8-fold, Shiite Muslims 4-fold. Modern Lebanon's constitution, drawn up in 1926, specified a balance of power between the various religious groups, but France designed it to guarantee the political dominance of its Christian allies. The president was required to be a Christian, in practice a Maronite, the prime minister a Sunni Muslim. On the basis of the 1932 census, parliament seats were divided according to the 6-5 Christian/Muslim ratio. The constitution gave the president veto power over any legislation approved by parliament, virtually ensuring that the 6-5 ratio would not be revised in the event of the population distribution changed. By 1960, Muslims were thought to constitute a majority of the population, which contributed to Muslim unrest regarding the political system. Independence. Lebanon gained independence in 1943 while France was occupied by Germany. General Henri Dienst, the Vichy High Commissioner for Syria and Lebanon, played a major role in the independence of both nations. The Vichy authorities in 1941 allowed Germany to move aircraft and supplies through Syria to Iraq, where they were used against British forces. Britain, fearing the Nazi Germany would gain control of Lebanon and Syria by pressure of the weak Vichy government, sent in its armies into Syria and Lebanon. After the fighting ended in Lebanon, General Charles de Gaulle visited the area. Under various political pressures by both inside and outside Lebanon, de Gaulle decided to recognize the independence of Lebanon. On November 26, 1941, General Georges Cottreau announced that Lebanon would become independent under the authority of the Free French government. Elections were held in 1943, and on November 8, 1943, the new Lebanese government unilaterally abolished the mandate. The French reacted by throwing the new government into prison. In the face of international pressure, the French released the government officials on November 22, 1943, and accepted the independence of Lebanon. The Allies kept the region under control until the end of World War II. The last French troops withdrew in 1946. Lebanon's history from independence has been marked by alternating periods of political stability and turmoil, interspersed with prosperity built on Beirut's position as a freely trading regional center for finance and trade. Lebanon was also a major center for the production of opium in the Mideast. Beirut became a mecca for institutions of international commerce and finance, as well as wealthy tourists, and enjoyed a reputation as the Paris of the Middle East until the outbreak of the Lebanese Civil War. Regional conflict. Meanwhile, in the aftermath of the 1948 Arab-Israeli War, Lebanon became home to more than 110,000 Palestinian refugees after being expelled from the newly formed Israel and Jordan, where King Hussein saw them as a threat to the stability of his kingdom. More Palestinians found their way into Lebanon than any other Arab country. In 1958, during the last months of President Kamil Shamoun's term, an insurrection broke out, and 5,000 United States Marines were briefly dispatched to the capital, Beirut, on July 15th in response to an appeal by the government. After the crises, a new government was formed, led by the popular former general Fouad Shehab. During the 1960s, Lebanon enjoyed a period of relative calm, with Beirut-focused tourism and banking sectors driven prosperity. Lebanon reached the peak of its economic success in the mid-1960s. The country was seen as a bastion of economic strength by the oil-rich Gulf Arab states, whose funds made Lebanon one of the world's fastest-growing economies, and fashionable Beirut seen as the Paris of the East. This period of economic stability and prosperity was brought to an abrupt halt with the collapse of Yusuf Baidu's Intra Bank, the country's largest bank and financial backbone, in 1966. Additional Palestinian refugees arrived after the 1967 Arab-Israeli War. Following their defeat in the Jordanian Civil War, thousands of Palestinian militiamen regrouped in Lebanon, led by Yasser Arafat's Palestine Liberation Organization, with the intention of replicating the modus operandi of attacking Israel from a politically and militarily weak neighbor. Starting in 1968, Palestinian militants of various affiliations began to use southern Lebanon as a launching pad for attacks on Israel. Two of these attacks led to a watershed event in Lebanon's Inchoate Civil War. In July 1968, a faction of George Habash's Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, PFLP, hijacked an Israeli civilian plane en route to Algiers in December. Habash himself oversaw an attack on an Al-Al's plane in Athens, resulting in two deaths. Later that month, Israeli agents flew into Beirut's international airport and demolished 13 civilian airliners belonging to various Arab carriers. Israel defended its action by informing the Lebanese government that it was responsible for encouraging the PFLP. The retaliation, which was intended to encourage a Lebanese government crackdown on Palestinian militants, instead polarized Lebanese society on the Palestinian question, deepening the divide between pro- and anti-Palestinian factions, with the Muslims leading the former group and the Maronites primarily constituting the latter. This dispute reflected increasing tensions between Christian and Muslim communities over the distribution of political power, and would ultimately foment the outbreak of civil war in 1975. In the interim, while armed Lebanese forces under the Maronite-controlled government sparred with Palestinian fighters, Egyptian leader Jamal Abd al-Nasser helped negotiate the 1969 Cairo Agreement between Arafat and the Lebanese government, which granted the PLO autonomy over Palestinian refugee camps and access routes to northern Israel in return for PLO recognition of Lebanese sovereignty. The agreement incited Maronite frustration over what were perceived as excessive concessions to the Palestinians, and pro-Maronite paramilitary groups were subsequently formed to fill the vacuum left by government forces, which were now required to leave the Palestinians alone. Notably, the Falange, a Maronite militia, rose to prominence around this time, led by members of the Jamal family. That's from Charles D. Smith, Palestine and the Arab-Israeli Conflict, pages 310 and 353. For its part, the PLO used its new privileges to establish an effective mini-state in southern Lebanon and to ramp up its attacks on settlements in northern Israel. Compounding matters, Lebanon received an influx of armed Palestinian militants, including Arafat and his Fatah movement. Fleeing the 1970s Jordanian crackdown, the PLO's vicious terrorist attacks in Israel, dating from this period, were countered by Israeli bombings raids in southern Lebanon, where 150 or more towns and villages have been repeatedly savaged by the Israeli armed forces since 1968, of which the village of Qiyam is probably the best example. Palestinian terror claimed 106 lives in the northern Israel from 1967, according to the official IDF statistics, while the Lebanese army had recorded 1.4 Israeli violations of Lebanese territory per day from 1968 to 1974. where Lebanon had no conflict with Israel during the period of 1949 through 1968. After 1968, Lebanon's southern border began to experience an escalating cycle of attack and retaliation, leading to the chaos of the civil war, foreign invasions, and international intervention. The consequences of the PLO's arrival in Lebanon continues to this day. The Lebanese Civil War. The Lebanese Civil War, 1975 through 1990, had its origin in the conflicts and political compromises of Lebanon's colonial period and was exacerbated by the nation's changing demographic trends, inter-religious strife, and proximity to Syria, the Palestine Liberation Organization, and Israel. By 1975, Palestinians in Lebanon numbered more than 300,000. Events and political movements that contributed to Lebanon's violent implosion include, among others, the departure of European colonial powers, the emergence of Arab nationalism, Arab socialism in the context of the Cold War, the Arab-Israeli conflict, Baathism, the Iranian Revolution, Palestinian militants, Black September in Jordan, Islamic fundamentalism, and the Iran-Iraq War. In all, it is estimated that more than 100,000 were killed and another 100,000 handicapped by injuries during Lebanon's 16-year war. Up to one-fifth of the pre-war resident population, or about 900,000 people, were displaced from their homes, of whom perhaps a quarter of a million emigrated permanently. Thousands of people lost limbs during many stages of planting of landmines. The war can be divided broadly into several periods: the initial outbreak in the mid-1970s, the Syrian and then Israeli intervention of the late 1970s, escalation of the PLO-Israeli conflict in the early 1980s, the 1982 Israeli invasion, a brief period of multinational involvement, and finally resolution, which took the form of Syrian occupation. Initial outbreak, 1975 through 76, and Syrian intervention. Constitutionally guaranteed Christian control of the government had come under increasing fire from Muslims and leftists, leading them to join forces as a national movement in 1969, which called for the taking of a new census and the subsequent drafting of a new governmental structure that would reflect the census results. Political tension became military conflict with full-scale civil war in April 1975. The Maronite leadership called the Syrian intervention in 1976, leading to the presence of Syrian troops in Lebanon, and an Arab summit in 1976 was called to stop the crisis. PLO and Israeli conflict, Israeli intervention 1976 through 82. In the south, military exchanges between Israel and the PLO led Israel to support Saad Haddad's South Lebanon Army, SLA, in an effort to establish a security belt along Israel's northern border, an effort which intensified in 1977 with the election of new Israeli Prime Minister Meshon Begin. Israel invaded Lebanon in response to Fatah attacks in Israel in March of 1978, occupying most of the area south of the Litani River and resulting in the evacuation of at least 100,000 Lebanese, as well as approximately 2,000 deaths. The UN Security Council passed Resolution 425 calling for an immediate Israeli withdrawal and creating the UN Interim Force in Lebanon. Charged with maintaining peace, Israeli forces withdrew later in 1978, leaving an SLA-controlled border strip as a protective buffer against PLO cross-border attacks. Concurrently, tension between Syria and Falange increased Israeli support for the Maronite group and led to direct Israeli-Syrian exchanges in April 1981, leading to American diplomatic intervention. Philip Habib was dispatched to the region to head off further escalation, which he successfully did via an agreement concluded in May. Intra-Palestinian fighting and PLO-Israeli conflict continued. On July 24, 1981, Habib brokered a ceasefire agreement with the PLO and Israel. The two sides agreed to cease hostilities in Lebanon proper and along the Israeli border with Lebanon. Israeli invasion and international intervention, 1982 through 1984. After continued PLO-Israeli exchanges, Israel invaded Lebanon on June 6th in Operation Peace for Galilee. By June 15th, Israeli units were entrenched outside Beirut, and Yasser Arafat attempted through negotiations to evacuate the PLO. It is commonly estimated that during the entire campaign, approximately 20,000 were killed on all sides, including many civilians. a multinational force composed of U.S. Marines, French, Italian units, arrived to ensure the departure of the PLO and protect defenseless civilians. Nearly 15,000 Palestinian militants were evacuated by September 1st. President Bashir Gemayel agreed to send troops from his Falange militia into camps to clear out 2,000 PLO fighters. On September 14th, Gemayel was assassinated. Falangists entered the camps on September 16th at 6 p.m. and remained until the morning of September 19th, massacring 700 to 800 Palestinians. According to official Israeli statistics, none apparently members of any PLO unit. These are known as the Sabra and Shatila massacres. Amin Gemayel succeeded his brother and focused on securing the withdrawal of Israeli and Syrian forces. On May 17, 1983, agreement among Lebanon, Israel, and the United States arranged an Israeli withdrawal condition on the departure of Syrian troops. Syria opposed the agreement and declined to discuss the withdrawal of its troops, effectively stalemating further progress. In 1983, the IDF withdrew southward and would remain only in the security zone until the year 2000. Intense attacks against U.S. and Western interests, including two truck bombings of the U.S. Embassy in 1983 and 1984, and the landmark attacks of the U.S. Marine and French parachute regime barracks on October 23, 1983, led to an American withdrawal, while the virtual collapse of the Lebanese army in February 1984 was a major blow to the government. On March 5th, the Lebanese government canceled the May 17th agreement, and the Marines departed a few weeks later. Assassination of Bashir al-Gemayel. Israeli forces invaded Lebanon in 1982. Although Gemayel did not cooperate with the Israeli publicly, his long history of tactical collaboration with Israel counted him in the eyes of many Lebanese, especially Muslims. Counted against him in the eyes of many Lebanese. Although only announced a candidate for the presidency of the republic, the National Assembly elected him by the second narrowest margin in Lebanese history, 57 votes out of 92. Most Muslim members of the assembly boycotted the vote. 9 days before he was due to take office, Gemayel was assassinated, along with 25 others, in an explosion at the Katib headquarters in Asharifi on September 14, 1982. Bashir Gemayel was succeeded as president by his brother Amin Gemayel, who served from 1982 to 1988. Rather different in temperament, Amin Gemayel was widely regarded as lacking the charisma and decisiveness of his brother, and many of the latter's followers were dissatisfied. Habib Tanis Shartouni, a member of the pro-Damascus Syrian Social Nationalist Party, confessed to the crime, was apprehended and handed to Amin Gemayel. He escaped but was captured again a few hours later and handed over to Lebanon's justice system. He was imprisoned in the Rumian prison. He was later released from Rumia in October of 1990 by the Syrian army in what was considered an illegal action. Worsening conflict and political crises, 1985 through 89. Between 1985 and 1989, heavy fighting took place in the War of the Camps. The Shia Muslim Amal militia fought to rout the Palestinians from Lebanese strongholds. Combat returned to Beirut in 1987, with Palestinians leftists, the Druze fighters allied against Amal, eventually withdrawing further Syrian intervention. Violent confrontation flared up in Beirut in 1988 between Amal and Hezbollah. Meanwhile, on the political front, Prime Minister Rashid Karami, head of the Government of National Unity, set up the failed peace efforts of 1984, was assassinated on June 1, 1987. President Gemayel's term of office expired in September of 1988. Before stepping down, he appointed another Maronite Christian, Lebanese Armed Forces Commanding General Michael Aoun, as acting Prime Minister, as was his right under the Lebanese Constitution of 1943. This action was highly controversial. Muslim groups rejected the move and pledged support of Salim al-Hass, a Sunni who had succeeded Karami. Lebanon was thus divided between a Christian government in East Beirut and a Muslim government in West Beirut, with no president. In February 1989, General Aoun launched the Harb al-Tahrir a war against the Syrian armed forces in Lebanon. He did not receive aid or support from any other Lebanese group or militia except the Lebanese forces, who were later sided with the Syrian regime against Aoun, who were later to side with the Syrian regime. In October 1990, the Syrian Air Force, backed by the U.S. and pro-Syrian Lebanese groups, including Hariri, Jumblat, Berri, Gejia, and Lahoud, attacked the presidential powers of Babada and forced Aoun to take refuge in the French embassy in Beirut and later go into exile in Paris. October 13, 1990 is regarded as the date the civil war ended, and Syria is widely recognized as playing a critical role to its end. End of the Civil War, 1989 through 91. The Taif Agreement of 1989 marked the beginning of the end of the war and was ratified on November 4th. President René Mouswad was elected the following day, but was assassinated in a car bombing in Beirut on November 22nd as his motorcade returned from Lebanese Independence Day ceremonies. He was succeeded by Elias Harari, who remained in office until 1998. In August 1990, the parliament and the new president agreed on constitutional amendments embodying some of the political reforms envisioned at Taif. The National Assembly expanded to 128 seats and was divided equally between Christian and Muslims. In March of 1991, parliament passed an amnesty law that pardoned most political crimes prior to its enactment, excepting crimes perpetrated against foreign diplomats or certain crimes referred by the cabinet to the higher judicial council. In May of 1991, the militias, with the important exception of Hezbollah, were dissolved, and the Lebanese armed forces began to slowly rebuild themselves as Lebanon's only major non-sectarian institution. Some violence still occurred. In late December 1991, a car bomb, estimated to carry 100 kilos, that's 220 pounds, of TNT, exploded in the Muslim neighborhood of Basta. At least 30 people were killed and 120 wounded, including Prime Minister Shafiq Wazan, who was riding in a bulletproof car. It was the deadliest car bombing in Lebanon since June 18th of 1985, when an explosion in the northern Lebanese port of Tripoli killed 60 people and wounded 110. The last of the Westerners kidnapped by Hezbollah during the mid-1980s was released in May of 1992.